Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we, as usual, do it all without any manipulation. That means we don't have any hidden agendas, no political agendas. We have nothing to sell you. We have nothing for you to join. All we want to simply do on this show is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, then you can orient and adjust appropriately. But I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you accurate information. That is your choice, what you do. You have your own volition. You have your own decider. You have your own chooser. God put it inside of you. And so as a free American, you have the right to make your own decisions. And the greatest decision that you could ever make is the decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says, "What think ye of Christ?" The decision to believe that Jesus is the Christ is the eternal decision that results in eternal life. The Bible clearly says, "He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he that believeth not," in John 3:18, "the wrath of God abides on him already." That's the greatest decision that you could ever make in your own personal life. But as I give you information here on this radio show today, those of you that are listening, you're going to hear information that may challenge your thinking. You're an intelligent human being. You know the difference between right and wrong, and you know garbage when you hear it. Often, like me, it's garbage in and garbage out. I hear it and reject it as soon as I hear it. But as the Holy Spirit witnesses to your human spirit and you hear this information, you will know that it is accurate, that it is truth, and it is from the Word of God. And as you hear this information, you must make some decisions. The reason that I do this radio show is to search out and locate potential members of the Pivot across this great nation called the United States of America. A Pivot is a mature individual. A Pivot is a group of mature individuals. Not mature in the physical sense, but mature in the spiritual sense. The Pivot is that group of mature spiritual believers that hold the nation together. They are the ones that God blesses and that overflow. "My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's what a mature believer does. And when a nation has a maximum amount of mature believers in it, then that nation has maximum blessing from God. Now, for the last several weeks, as we've been teaching on our radio show, you know we don't do topics, that we do series. And we've been doing a series on maturity. We've also done a series on spirituality, and I've shown you the difference between being a spiritual Christian and being a mature Christian. And I've let you see that spirituality is absolute. Either you're spiritual or you're carnal. And carnal means there's unconfessed sin in your life that you haven't dealt with. And in regards to maturity, that's relative. You may or may not be a mature believer. It depends on the content of the Word of God that you cycled into your soul. That's why Jeremiah said, "I found your words and I ate them." And in essence, they fed him. They satisfied his hunger for truth in his life. One of the problems that we have today in America is there are very few people that are hungry for truth. And to tell the honest truth about it, emotion has taken the place of content in the religious society today. Therefore, there's a lot of ritual without reality, and it's meaningless. Because emotion has become the criteria for worship. And emotion was never designed to be the criteria for worship because emotion doesn't think, emotion reacts. And unfortunately, however fortunately for me and you, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5. And so we are mandated, the command intent of the Apostle Paul writing the book of Philippians was for us to learn to think like Christ thought. And as he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible is considered to be the mind of Christ. And as he wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "Reform your thinking. Stop thinking in terms of arrogance, which is detrimental to your soul, but think in terms of sanity as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word." That's the mental dynamics of the Christian life. That's learning to think divine viewpoint and not human viewpoint. All of the problem-solving devices that resolve around the flat line of our soul, all of them revolve around you thinking divine viewpoint. Remember this show, The Flat Line, is about the 10 problem-solving devices. We started our show saying that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. Adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, you never have to have stress. That's optional. Adversity is not optional. You will have adversity. I will have adversity. But stress, well, that's optional. So as we begin to acquire the mind of Christ, as we begin to think in terms of divine viewpoint, as we begin to subdue our emotions and not react to circumstances, but rather respond to circumstances, then we begin to emulate the life of Christ. Then we begin to live actually the Christian life. So that whatever our circumstances, Paul said, I find great joy and peace and happiness in the middle of it. Doesn't make any difference if I have a lot, if I have a little. That's not the issue, Paul said. And that's why God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Whatever you need, my grace is sufficient to meet those needs. So that's why I've been teaching these things. And I don't know that if I've built an audience or not. I know that some people are listening. I get calls from some people from time to time. And I'm very glad that you're tuning in to our radio show this morning. I hope you will continue to listen. And I hope not only will you listen, but you will act on what you're hearing. And that's why I'm doing this radio show, trying to find people that are hungry for truth, trying to find people that regardless of the cost, they will pursue it. They will come after it. They will have the gumption and the gall to say, that's the best stuff I've heard in a long time, and I want more of it, instead of just saying, well, you know, that was a good radio show, I liked it, and that's okay. Where are the people that are hungry for truth? Where are the people that will pursue truth, regardless of the cost? I've known people in the past that picked up and moved their whole family so that they could sit face to face under an accurate pastor. I've known young people that were not married that moved to a different city so they could sit face to face under an accurate pastor. It's hard to find a pastor teacher that's accurate in teaching the Word of God consistently, who's not involved in the routine of ritual without reality. And when you find one, when you find a man that'll spend 6 to 8 hours a day studying the Word of God, when you find a man that'll teach the Word of God from his pulpit 4 to 6 hours a week, not just 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, that man's a jewel if he's accurate. And if he's accurate and if he puts his time in, well, he's certainly going to be attacked by Satan because he's going to be a danger in the agona, in the arena of contention called the agona. He's a very dangerous individual because he's going to set people free. He's going to give people enough information that they're going to be able to see themselves as they really are and not be deluded any longer by the god of this world. Therefore, the way that Satan would attack a man like this was try to discredit this man, try to get this man's message misunderstood. Someone would misquote it or missay something or go out and misrepresent this man so that they can discredit him. This is what Satan would try to do to any accurate communicator of the Word of God, because if he can discredit him, then he can, in effect, discourage the people that listen to him. And if they get discouraged, they get defeated because they quit taking in the Word of God. And spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, as we've demonstrated on this show, is a means of consistently studying the Word of God on a daily basis. And unfortunately, not many people do it. They think studying the Word of God on a daily basis is having a daily Bible reading. That is not spiritual maturity. That is not how you grow to spiritual maturity. Doing a 10-minute devotion each morning is not how you grow to spiritual maturity. Pulling out a little slip of paper out of Our Daily Bread and reading it is not how you grow to spiritual maturity. Those things are not sinful. They, in fact, may help you keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ for a few minutes. But if you're ever going to renovate your thinking, then you're going to have to sit under a person who's qualified to teach you. And you're going to have enough humility to listen and respond. It takes academic discipline to listen consistently to someone like this. But I pray that you'd be able to have that sort of discipline in your life. So we have been studying what is a spiritually mature believer and what is a carnal believer. We've gone through all of that. And we are going to go on now to show what the real hope of a nation is. This is the real key passage and the real key thing that I want to show you. This is why I've spent so much time talking about being a mature believer. You see, as a mature believer, the only hope for the survival of a client nation, like the United States of America, we are in fact a client nation. The only hope for that survival of the United States of America is that pivot of mature believers. the mature believers who act as a stabilizing force within the nation. They act as a ballast that keeps the nation afloat. That group of mature believers, they are, in fact, the ones that God's blessing pours into, and it overflows into the nation. So the grace of God has brought us, the United States of America, this far, and Jesus Christ controls history. Now, as He gave us our spiritual life, if we pursue the spiritual life, if we grow in Christ, if we become mature men and women as He intends for us to do, then maybe we might have an invisible impact on this nation. Because as mature believers, we are called to act as a preservative. And in the final analysis, it is the mature believers who are responsible for the rise or the fall of a client nation, such as the United States of America. And that's why we're going to study a passage in Hosea chapter 4 today. We're going to go through that passage, and we're going to see some phenomenal things. So if you will, understand what we're about to study in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is an Old Testament passage, and there's only one interpretation for the passage. I understand who it was written to and why it was written. This is the Northern Kingdom of Israel, and this is an indictment that God has against the Northern Kingdom of Israel because of their reversionism, because of they've turned away from the Lord, and this is a warning from the prophet Hosea concerning that. So listen, as we go through this, no dramatics here. I'm not here to be dramatic. No theatrics here, just plain talk, plain teaching the Word of God. No shouting, no screaming, just teaching. So listen up. This is how it applies to us. Here we go, verse 1, Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you citizens of Israel. That's right, it was written to the Northern Kingdom, not to you and I. But there is an application for us. There's an application for us to understand if we will listen to this and if we will heed, because God is immutable. He does not change. That's one of His divine attributes. And His immutability says that if He treats Israel this way, He's going to treat anybody this way. He's a just God. And He goes on to say, because the Lord has a case against you. He has an indictment. And it says he has an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. That's the Jews that live in the Northern Kingdom. And they have been a client nation for God because, he says, Hosea goes on to say, nothing of doctrine is taught, and nothing about grace is applied. He goes on to say there is no knowledge of God in the land. Now listen carefully as I try to summarize some of this for you. Just as God had an indictment against the Jewish client nation, so today He has an indictment against Gentile client nations, and we are the Gentile client nation of this generation. We are the United States of America. And that indictment says this, because nothing of doctrine is taught and nothing of grace is applied. There's a twofold indictment here. Number one, there's no truth being taught. And number two, there's no grace being applied or distributed in the land. These are the two indictments that God had. Number one, there was no demand for Bible teaching. No demand for Bible teaching in time of apostasy. This is a very sad thing, and as a result of this, nothing of grace is applied. Now, if you remember the 10 problem-solving devices that I've taught you on this show, grace orientation is one of those problem-solving devices. And unless a man understands saving grace, for example, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith as a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. Unless you understand saving grace, and unless you understand living grace, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, and unless you understand dying grace, and that is that death is nothing to fear for the believer, that God has ordained the time and the manner and the place of your departure, and it's not going to happen until then. Until you come to understand grace, where God said to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for all of your needs. And you will never be the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. You will never grace people out because you don't know how much God has graced you out. And so you'll always be revenge-oriented. You'll always hold people accountable. Just last week, I had a wonderful friend that let me use a house of his over the Thanksgiving holidays. And while we were there, An electrician who had been doing some work forgot to plug the freezer back up, and in the process, a whole cow that was butchered was destroyed, over $1,000 worth of meat. And my friend said, "What should I do?" And, of course, I said, "Forgive him." And he said, "Well, that was a lot of money." And I said, "Well, I mean, can he afford to pay for it?" He said, "No, not really. His family's suffering. His wife's very sick." Then I said, "Grace him out and forgive him. Write it off. You don't need the money. You got plenty of money. You can handle it." And he did, in fact, grace this guy out. And this guy said, "Why are you doing this?" And my friend said, "Well, because I can and because God would." See, this is what grace is. Grace doesn't hold people accountable. God did not hold you accountable. But unless doctrine is taught, unless the Word of God is taught, then people don't understand these practical procedures found in the Word of God. So that's the result. Now, the Net Bible puts it this way. The Net Bible is a wonderful Bible. Go to the Internet and look it up. Go to netbible.org and find it. You can see it. It's free. You can download it. It's probably the only Bible that you can download on the Internet free. And if you want to order one and buy one, you can probably get it in a leather-bound edition for about $30, which is probably the cheapest Bible you'll ever find. But it's absolutely accurate. And it has over 60,000 footnotes regarding the translation of the Word of God from the original languages. And so this is the way the Net Bible translates Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. "For the Lord has a covenant lawsuit against the people of Israel. For there is neither faithfulness, nor is there loyalty in the land, nor do they acknowledge God." That's the way they put it. And that's a pretty good translation. Now verse 2, Hosea chapter 4. Instead of what? Instead of doctrine being taught and grace being applied and the knowledge of God being in the land, instead of that, there's lying. That's dishonesty. There's deception. That is the arrogant skill called self-deception. The arrogant person deceives himself into thinking that he's right and everybody else is wrong. He's the only one that really knows all the answers, and he's arrogant about that. And the Bible goes on to say there is homicide, there's stealing, there's rape, and therefore blood touches blood. And that's a Jewish idiom for perpetual violence in the land. So verse 2 tells us that in a client nation, such as the United States of America, as was happening in the northern kingdom of Israel right here, since doctrine was not being taught, grace was not being applied, and there was no knowledge of God in the land, people were not aware of the mandates of God, well then, this is what was happening. There was a total amount of dishonesty, deception, homicide, stealing, rape, and perpetual violence. Well, that almost sounds like client nation USA. Because you cannot pick up the newspaper in your city and see anything but what I just told you. You will see lawsuits where corporate executives lied. You will see family deceit and deception. You will see murder every day, shot in a hotel, shot in a car, shot on the street. You will see rape, and you will see perpetual violence across the land of the United States of America. And many people today that live in large cities know that it's unsafe to go in certain part of the cities, because if they do go there, they will be shot. And so what used to be a free land is now a controlled land. There are only parts of the city that you can visit. And other parts, you best not go there. My own grandmother and grandfather were visiting a cemetery in a certain part of our city when they were accosted and robbed at gunpoint by some individuals that came out of the bushes while they were standing at the grave visiting a dead relative. So verse 3 says, "Therefore the land mourns." This means the people in the land are miserable. No one is enjoying anything anymore, and the reason is very obvious to see, because God's cycles of discipline have begun to intensify in that land. This is what God does when God wants to get our attention. He allows the cycles of discipline to come into a client nation, such as the United States of America. And when these cycles of discipline come into that client nation, this is how God gets our attention. Leviticus talks about this, and we'll probably go into that during the show eventually. Now, here's the key. Don't lose sight of this. As a mature believer, you can help stop this. As a mature believer, you can turn this trend around, and that's why I emphasize how important it is for you to get to spiritual maturity. That's why it's important for you to begin to take in the Word of God every day. That's why it's important for you to get under a qualified pastor that will teach you the Word of God consistently so that your spiritual life acts as a preservative, so that you become an invisible hero, so that you deliver the client nation from the impending disaster that awaits if everyone else follows the trend. All that live in the land languish, the Bible says. This means they waste away. What that simply means is the nation loses its pride. People in the land lose their courage and their vitality and their strength. And the nation under the fifth cycle of discipline is totally destroyed. The five cycles of discipline, again, taught in Leviticus, we will get to eventually. But the Bible goes on to say in this passage in Hosea 4:3, the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and even the fish of the sea perish. Isn't that interesting? When people become criminals, animals suffer. And we see it every day. I mean, we have animal TV channels where you can watch animal officers that go to rescue animals that are being abused from criminals every day. Verse 4 says, and yet let no one find fault. That means as in evil activism, as in you parading up and down the street as a Christian and getting a sign and saying that everybody's going to go to hell because they do this sort of stuff. That's not why people go to hell. People go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. This is just the result of not believing in Christ and not having any knowledge of God in the land. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 4, let no one offer criticism, for your citizens are like those who contend with the priest, are the ones that teach truth. You see, the priests are the ones that have been given the job to represent God himself. So activism, Christian activism, and criticism, Christian criticism, are not the answer. You must take responsibility for your own failed spiritual life. That's the answer. Criticizing the president and saying he's the problem, becoming an activist and fighting a social injustice, it's not the problem. You're not the answer, excuse me. You're going to see this as we go through this study. And verse 5 says, therefore you have stumbled in the daylight, and even the prophet will stumble with you in the night, darkness, and I will destroy your native country or your motherland. So there are two problems here that Hosea identifies. The first problem is the problem with the people. The people have stumbled, no mature believers, no desire for truth in the land, because they walk in darkness. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says, he that has fellowship with the Lord in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 9, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But here we have people that stumble in the daylight. I mean, even when the truth is around them, they ignore it and they stumble. And the prophets stumble in the night darkness. People stumbling because they walk in darkness or because they walk in sin, crusader arrogance, being involved in the cosmic system, rejecting the truth. The cosmic system is the world, the spirit of the times. And the prophet who teaches false doctrine or false hope. That's what goes on in a nation that God is about to destroy. The prophet stumbles and the people stumble. The prophet stumbling, here's an interesting thing about that. I want to try to give you this before our show runs out today. This is a passage out of Jeremiah 23:25-33. Listen very carefully to this passage. See if this sounds familiar. This is Jeremiah writing, and he says, the Lord has an indictment. I've heard what those prophets who are prophesying lies in my name are saying. They are saying, I have had a dream. I have had a dream. Verse 26. These prophets are just prophesying lies. They are prophesying the delusions of their own mind. How long will they go on plotting to make my people forget who I am through the dreams they tell one another? That is just as bad as what their ancestors did when they forgot who I am by worshiping the god Baal. Verse 28. Let the prophet who's had a dream go ahead and tell his dream, but let the person who has received my message report that message faithfully. What is like straw cannot compare to what is like grain. I, the Lord, affirm it. My message is like a fire that purges dross. It is I, the Lord, I affirm it. It is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. I affirm it. So I, the Lord, affirm that I am opposed to those prophets who steal messages from one another, and then they claim these messages are from me. I, the Lord, affirm that I am opposed to those prophets who are using their own tongue to declare, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. I, the Lord, affirm, verse 32, Jeremiah 23, that I am opposed to those prophets who dream up lies and report them. They're misleading my people with their reckless lies. I did not send them, I did not commission them, and they are not helping the people at all. I, the Lord, affirm it. Wow. There you have it. Because that's what's going on in the United States of America today, in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of God. I hear it all the time. People are talking about their dreams and how God spoke to them in a dream. You know, God, I remember when Moses was criticized for his remarriage in Numbers, and his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam came to him and criticized him, and God said, I need to have a talk with all three of you. Come to the temple. And I never forget what he said. He said, look, if I want to talk to Moses, I'll talk to him face to face. And if I want to talk to you two, I'll talk to you two in a dream. God did, in fact, speak to many people in dreams. But the dreams that these people are claiming to have are not from the Lord. God did not speak to them in a dream. And they're preaching the delusion of their own mind. And God asked, how long are they going on plotting? How long will they go on plotting to make my people forget who I am through their dreams that they tell one another? Today, ironically, many pulpits speak peace and social action. Many pastors peddle false doctrine, and gullible, naive Christians buy it. They run to the bookstores by the thousands to buy Christian self-help books. How to help yourself. There's one pastor today who's one of the nation's best sellers, and he starts out in his book by telling readers that he will teach them how to, and I quote now, how to enlarge their vision, how to develop a healthy self-image, and how to discover the power of their thoughts and their words. Well, and then he goes on to write, to do that, you have to get rid of your self-negative thoughts. You have to get rid of those negative mindset that holds you back and start enlarging your vision. The Bible doesn't teach anything like this. The spiritual life is not some self-help style of living. It's a supernatural life, empowered by means of God the Holy Spirit, fueled by the Word of God. And yet, here is a national bestseller who's been on television telling people that they need to enlarge their vision, they need to have a dream, they need to believe in their dream and go for their dream. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing that garbage because that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to be the man or the woman that God intended, you're going to have to learn the mind of Christ. And the only way you're going to do it is to sit under a pastor who will study and teach it, dig it out day by day, hour by hour, and bring it to you on a platter and make you rich. That's his job. He's to bring you the word treasure, the Greek word thesaurus, and it'll make you rich. I can only hope if you understand the power of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device. Number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you understand the need to take in the Word of God every day, doctrinal orientation, that's a problem-solving device. You learn these 10 problem-solving devices, and you can give maximum glorification to God in your life. And you can be a winner believer, and you can deliver this nation in time of adversity. But it's not easy, and it will take you getting off your can and getting after it. So, this is Rick Hughes until next week, saying thank you for listening as I teach you.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.